Next curve.
Welcome, everyone. This is Leonard Lee, Managing Director of Next Curve. Thank you for joining today's Rethink webcast. And in this session, we will be discussing the future of retail, or what we call Retail 2.0. And for those of you who are not familiar with Next Curve, let me introduce our firm really quickly here. We are a San Diego-based boutique consulting and research firm focused on providing experience-based advisory services to inspire clients' digital futures. We advise across a wide range of digital topics drawing from the expertise and experience of our executive consultants and our analysts. I started Next Curve with the goal of channeling my 23 years of experience consulting across a wide range of industries, business, technology, strategic advisory domains, and helping my clients win and move forward with clarity into the cloudy frontier that we call our digital future. I also wanted to work with great people like our featured Next Curve principal. And today, I'm very honored to be joined by Next Curve principal Akshay Sharma. Akshay is a renowned industry analyst and consultant who has worked with some of the leading tech firms and was a research director with Gartner Inc. for 10 years. And as a principal with Next Curve, Akshay covers various domains, including blockchain, network and data center technology, IoT communication, security, and telecom digital transformation, and also obviously retail. Akshay, glad to have you on. Looking forward to discussing the future of retail with you.
Yep, glad to be here.
In this session, we will cover the following agenda topics. Akshay will share his vision for the future of retail and walk us through a couple of scenarios. And we will discuss the technology trends that are driving and enabling Retail 2.0. We will discuss how e-commerce is no longer the next big thing in retail. I'm sure that's going to draw a little bit of controversy there, right? Akshay will share what Retail 2.0 means for technology vendors and carriers. And then we will close out with a short Q&A. So with that, let's move forward with our first agenda topic, Retail 2.0, future of retail in the digital tomorrow. So you wrote this great research note on nextcurve.com entitled Retail Hospitality Industries Digitally Transformed, the Next Mobile Carrier Killer App. What inspired you to write this piece?
So first of all, there is a mobile carrier aspect towards the latter part of that title. Historically, the mobile carriers have been secondarily involved in retail. They might be providing smartphones, perhaps. They might be providing connectivity, but that's about it. And what I'm seeing now with the various firms I've advised over the years, that the mobile carriers, as well as the fixed carriers, can play a significant role beyond just connectivity. We're starting to see IoT sensors. We're starting to see new next-gen point-of-sale systems. We're starting to see inventory management, workforce management. We're starting to see digital signage that are LTE enabled, Wi-Fi enabled, managed by a carrier. We're starting to see digital kiosks, electronic kiosks that are mobile on a robot that can move around and have essentially a tablet on the robot's chest, and it's interacting with AI, with a chatbot capability. So we're starting to see loss prevention and video surveillance that can be carrier hosted and managed. We've seen carriers are providing alarm surveillance capabilities now. And so we're starting to see carriers becoming more critical solution vendors beyond just a bit pipe. And retailers, they also need to think out of the box, because there's a lot of competition from the Web 2.0 or Web 3.0 online e-commerce vendors. Carriers have to think holistically now, beyond just selling on price, but selling, you know, with quality of experience, selling based on value-added services and making it more of a customer experience that's enjoyable while shopping.
Here we have a depiction of a store, but what you just talked about, I've seen extend beyond that. I've seen many mall operators now start to embrace digital and implement these new emerging technologies and providing digital services within mall spaces. It seems like there is this trend, and it's becoming more evident as you start to visit these stomping grounds. For me, it's like UTC and Fashion Valley here in San Diego, and you see this notable increase in digitization of these venues.
Exactly. We're going to see augmented reality, virtual reality. We're going to see people try out new clothing without going to the change room. We're going to see cosmetics being applied, or new hairstyles being applied to people's faces within a virtual reality type setting. We're going to see brick and mortar tied in with augmented reality, where you walk into the store and you'll see price lists change, not only of the item in the store itself, but what you can see price matching online. And we're going to see people comparative shop and try to get the best deal. We're going to see people shopping online while they're in the store, and then maybe pick it up or have it delivered to their home with the best preferred way possible. So we're going to see new modalities, online, mobile. We talk about this thing called omni-channel marketing. Well, that's basically the same user experience, whether you're online, on a web app, or on a mobile app, or whether you're talking through an electronic kiosk, or whether you're talking to a live human being, and that live human being could be over the phone or right in front of you. And we're going to see newer modalities of interaction, but hopefully it's done in a cohesive way, a consistent way, with high value added services baked right in.
We have some good examples out there already of enterprises or retail. A lot of people, when they think Apple, they don't think retail, but companies like Apple, companies like, surprisingly, Amazon, really pushing the envelope in terms of what digital can do within a physical retail space. When you look at Apple, I think a lot of people don't realize how connected and integrated the experience is, and can literally just scan item within the store and walk out with it. You scan it, you pay for it, and you just walk out, right?
Exactly.
So there's this self-service element that has been brought into the physical space, which I think is game-changing in a lot of ways. Now, you know, of course, you can't walk out with an iPhone. There's provisioning and a lot of other things related to that, and maybe Apple doesn't have that trust factor quite yet with their system. But when you look at Amazon Books as well, it's an interesting experiment there. I think based on my experience going to Amazon Books, and there are only a few of them out there, and I'm fortunate to be located close to one and walking distance, they're looking at integrating digital technologies, taking your information that they have in your Amazon profile, and collectively within that locale, determining what are those books and products that are most likely going to be sold in a certain time frame for inventory optimization purposes, right? It's interesting to see that a lot of what you're talking about, Akshay, there are good examples of that out there today. And, you know, obviously these companies will start to push the competitive envelope as well with how they're pursuing retail store 2.0 here as we have it.
Exactly. In fact, I'm sure we've all gotten a phone in the past where we literally had to sit there for 3 hours, where we had to, you know, spend an hour going through the different options, through different data plans, spending an hour waiting for the person to go back in the warehouse and do inventory management, and then provisioning the phone with local number portability, with SIM cards being punched that into the phone itself. These things can be automated. The electronic kiosk that shows the different options and you select it within minutes. Being able to track the phone in the warehouse and have it delivered to you by a robot. Amazon's doing that right now within their warehouses. And so eventually that's going to come to the retail. And then being able to have soft SIM or electronic SIM, eSIM, not a real physical SIM card, but actually a software way of doing it. There's going to be encrypted ways using software to provision things literally in seconds as opposed to hours.
There's a second scenario that you outlined in your research note, which is the restaurant.
We're starting to see out-of-the-box thinking here, too. At the IoT Evolution Expo event I attended a few weeks ago in Orlando, to the IT Expo this past week here in Fort Lauderdale, you've seen vendors that are literally thinking outside of the box with electronic kiosk technology, digital signage, but even beacon technology, sensor technology with IoT to do remote sensing and control of the refrigeration system through not only APIs through the web, but also through mobile apps, but even voice apps to be able to tell a system to change the temperature remotely. And so there's all kinds of nuances there. To having a video surveillance technology, So you can have cameras so the general manager, if they're on vacation, they can check and see that the restaurant's still well managed. Tabletop ordering. We're seeing tables that literally are electronic kiosks with video gaming, with displays, to even augmented and virtual reality where the food is visually displayed in front of you and then it comes in real life. And so we're starting to see nuances there. We're starting to see electronic kiosks for food selection. Companies like Zyvello literally have kiosks, and they've won Wendy's, McDonald's, as well as Burger King with basic food ordering through a menu that's interactive. And then these menus are now appearing on the dashboard of vehicles. And so on the left, you see the Harman solution. Harman got acquired by Samsung. And at CES, that was one of the highlights I found, is literally a digital menu appearing inside your dashboard of your vehicle. So you don't have to roll down the window when you go through a drive-through. You could basically make the order and then pick it up as you go.
Well, you do have to roll down the window, right, in order to accept the food.
Well, or maybe they throw
maybe
it
maybe that's all automated too.
Through the sunroof or something.
Yeah, okay. Just hope that they don't drop the drinks on you.
Exactly.
That's great. Okay. All right. This is really exciting. I have seen the digital menu boards everywhere. As much as you're talking about this in the future context, there are various degrees of adoption across these different themes that you're talking about and in restaurants today.
How interactive is it? A touchscreen panel? Can you actually make selections or print out a coupon or a receipt and things like that if you need one? And so there's degrees of intelligence that we're seeing in these digital kiosks.
Let's move on to our next topic here, a discussion on the key digital and market drivers of retail 2.0. In your research note, you cite several technologies as being key in driving new possibilities in retail. Maybe you can give us some insight into what you think are really driving this move toward digital retail 2.0.
Well, I remember taking classes during my school days in engineering where we heard about this new thing called just-in-time manufacturing. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, that was the buzzword, that people would have manufacturing based on real-time demand. Now take that just-in-time manufacturing of food by a robot, or just-in-time manufacturing of an item that you're buying could be 3D printed literally at the retailer as you go there. And we're going to see more and more of robots, just like what we see in the top left corner. This one's made by AV. Literally this past week, Mizo Robotics just raised $10 million for their Flippy Burger Flipper. And it's already being tried in various restaurants in California. So we're starting to see that as an emerging trend of just-in-time manufacturing of items or food on the fly. The next one over is digital signage, digital kiosks that are truly interactive. So this is an example of what Zyvello has, but there's many other digital kiosks out there. On the bottom right corner is the Idiom, IDEUM, Idiom's tabletop, that actually has sensors and is basically a kiosk and can tell if your drinks are getting low, they can recommend a refill. In the top right corner and in the bottom left corner, we've got robots. These are now coming into hospitality, into restaurants, into hotels. SoftBank Pepper is an example. SoftBank owns Sprint, and you're going to see in the Sprint stores very soon SoftBank Pepper with that tablet or electronic kiosk on its chest, displaying what options you can purchase, what phones, their availability, maybe some data plans that you might want to sign up. And this greeter can actually minimize a lot of the time that's wasted just waiting for the salesperson to come. And so maybe a lot of the underlying information and selection has already been done with the robot. And then when the salesperson's available, they can then come in and perhaps upsell you and give you that concierge type service. And then in the bottom middle is the new Amazon Whole Foods stores that are now popping up where, as you mentioned, Leonard, the cashier-less billing system where you basically can walk out and they have RFID sensors that can detect what items you're walking out with, and they've already predefined your smart payment system with your smartphone, and they debit accordingly as you walk out the door.
With Amazon Go, I think the interesting thing there is that they're using computer vision and in-store analytics to track you and what you take off the shelves, right? So there's not only tracking of the person, there's also tracking of items and inventory within the store as well, right? And that all being integrated with, I guess, it's Prime membership or something like that.
Exactly. Where it can get tricky is if you're buying things by the pound or by the ounce, then of course, weigh that and figure out how much the price is can be tricky. But I agree, for prepackaged items, this is definitely where things are headed. And as you probably heard, Amazon with Whole Foods, with Amazon Prime, they'll like actually ship it to you for free. So you could perhaps even go to the Whole Foods, select what you want, and have it shipped by some other means. You don't even have to take it home. I mean, they'll just show up when you get home, probably.
I think the other thing that is of concern, though, with these types of models, I mean, it's not just Amazon Go, but other digital retail models that really rely on being aware of you is security and privacy.
But we're also going to see, you know, as you opt in for some of these services, you may be willing to share your location, your preferences,
right,
like that, for that experience. And what we also saw as another emerging trend is the delivery, you know, the Toyota e-pallet, or the new robot delivery mechanisms that are coming, like Domino's Pizza with their driving robot that delivers the pizza. And so we're going to see newer modalities of delivery that come out of this as well.
All right, wonderful. Let's move on to our next topic here, which is the evolving role of e-commerce in retail 2.0. And Akshay, we've had a lot of discussion on how digital technologies are impacting the retail industry. And one of the things that I think the retailers need to understand, and also investors, is the changing role of e-commerce as the retail industry overall continues to evolve. And let's think about e-commerce for a moment. Obviously, e-commerce is a step evolution from traditional retail that we're familiar with. If we were to think of e-commerce for a moment, it started off as a business type during the dot-com era with the advent of the web. The idea is that you have shoppers online who can order goods and have them drop shipped to your home. And many of the companies back in the day, you had like pets.com, amazon.com, webvan.com, ebay.com, xyz.com. They originated as pure e-commerce business model. So even amazon.com, it was about you make online order and then they drop ship to your home. That's where e-commerce was back 20 years ago and probably about 10 years after that. But then with mobility in the last 10 years, with the advent of the smartphone, we have this new inflection that's happened in retail where we have mobile computing creating a new opportunity. You could do a number of things with mobile retail, which you couldn't do online, right? Because fundamentally, the smartphone allows you to take computing everywhere. It's on you almost constantly versus online retail. The assumption there is you had to get in front of a PC, you're at home. All of a sudden, the retail experience is not only extended from the physical and the virtual world to anywhere, it becomes on demand. You can buy whatever, whenever. You can get information that supports your buying decision whenever, as long as you're connected. And then also we started to see some contextual applications of mobile in supporting new retail possibilities.
Yeah, and we're starting to see newer nuances to payment, whether it be Apple Pay or or the Square device that could be attached to a mobile device.
There you go. Absolutely. And you remember when the iPhone first came out, all that stuff was not possible. Now, like you said, you have Alipay, you have Apple Pay. There's so many options, and mobile retail has really pushed the buying experience and the shopping experience out to the edge.
So exactly. What you didn't want is the pain of taking out your credit card and typing in the 16 digits and all that. And, you know, one nuance was using the camera to take a picture of your credit card and then it auto-filled with character recognition the forms. But even that was still a little tedious. And now with mobile pay, you don't even have to take your phone out of your pocket.
And today, I'll argue that e-commerce has just become a channel for business. And in fact, if you look at Amazon, they really are ironically moving their business model increasingly toward a brick and mortar model. You have the acquisition of Whole Foods. You have various ventures into brick and mortar retail with Amazon Go and Amazon Book. And this is something I've been writing about for quite some time, and pendulum seems to be swinging back the other way. It started at brick and mortar, went a bit digital, and now it seems like we're moving toward brick and mortar and physical again. And you're starting to also, like I mentioned before, see mall operators implement digital technologies to create new conveniences. Today, I would say most malls are extremely inconvenient, but now you're starting to see these different properties begin to look at digitally enabled convenience. And then you're seeing Amazon investing in their brick and mortar channel tremendously.
Well, as we know, you got to try before you buy in many cases. And so people want to touch and feel or actually taste or sample the item. Yeah. And it's hard to do that virtually. I think you still need the physical world that we live in.
Absolutely. I mean, even Alibaba is increasingly into physical. They've opened up a series of mega stores in China. It's interesting to see these so-called digital first companies now start to get into traditional models. Maybe the pendulum is not swinging the other way. Maybe the better way of putting it is there's a convergence, and it's not really digital retail that is the big thing. And that just is a representation of some of the trends that have been happening for 20 years on the digital front. It's really augmented retail.
Yeah, it'll be a hybrid offering that we're going to have all of the modes all at once. We still might be buying mobile retail at the traditional brick and mortar place. We might be buying it from the competitor after we see the price at the brick and mortar place.
Right. But what you're really doing at the end of the day is you're integrating the digital with the physical. Like what you're saying, it has significant impact, though, implications on experience design, because it's no longer just a technical or a UI or aesthetic exercise or a space planning exercise. You really need to start thinking very differently. And then also layering in the lens of value and practicality, because it's very easy for you to get caught up in a lot of the buzzwords. But quite frankly, many of these technologies have been out there for quite some time. The adoption level is not what people were saying 10 years ago. So like digital signage has been around forever, but these technologies hit a certain inflection point where the value becomes great enough where you can make a practical investment that's going to actually benefit the top and bottom line.
Exactly. And having digital signage that's smart, that basically is driven by analytics with targeted ads based on the demographic that's approaching at that time, or having an interactive digital signage that becomes a kiosk and that maybe even has an embedded chat bot that's powered by AI, where you may be given options. Maybe it's giving some recommendations and maybe you purchase more items, but these are more targeted to your needs based on the AI analytics that are being captured on the fly. And that same AI chat bot may be powering the robot, the Sandbot, or the SoftBank Pepper, or the chatbot AI engine is also powering the auto attendant when you call over the phone and make a purchase. And we're starting to see this omni-channel convergence of marketing and AI connectedness through all the modalities. It's not just a siloed solution. They're becoming more holistic offerings over time.
I think retailers really need to think about a couple of things. What is your readiness and capability set to enable the different phases of retail, right? So if you're a traditional retailer, do you have what it takes to now build an online channel and you start to build the capabilities that are related to that? Can you now parlay that into a new mobile enabled offering? That gives you the opportunity to explore all those things that you can do with mobile. And then now the next step, which is augmented retail, going from online, mobile, do you have the capabilities now to start making moves into the augmented retail realm of, let's call it, retail maturity? I don't know if you can really call it maturity. I think each of these phases you have a maturity framework, but when you get to augmented retail, things that are forward-looking, there really isn't a maturity model for that. It's you either have the foundational capabilities. I think that's one of the things that you need to assess. But going forward, how can you leverage these digitally enabled augmented opportunities and driving value for your company? But I think a lot of these are mindsets in addition to capabilities.
Exactly. And as you know, we've done many maturity models over the years at Gartner and other places, you know, at IBM and other places.
Yes.
Typically, these maturity models range from level zero, where it's total chaos or there's no maturity, there's no real knowledge of what's going on, to level three is the in-between state, usually where it's managed pilots, and there's some learning, some sort of automation in there. And then usually the level five is when it's totally autonomous, totally self-learning, totally mature, and everything is holistic and end-to-end. We're going to probably have the same thing in each of these buckets as well.
So let's move on to our next topic, which is Retail 2.0, opportunities for vendors and carriers. Akshay, your research note outlines some opportunities that carriers and tech vendors can capitalize on as the retail industry continues its journey toward augmented retail, or Retail 2.0, as you call it. Can you talk a bit about these opportunities?
Sure. You know, we've seen this in the telecom world, where there's things called PCRF, policy charging and rules function, where this notion of bandwidth on demand, but it's policy-based, where there's upper limits, there's some controls, there's some rules and regulations a carrier has to abide by. Whereas in the Uber world of Uber surge pricing, where you could be charged $1,000 to go a mile, if it's really popular at that minute, people look down upon that, you know, that's frowned upon. So I think there's going to be needs of not quite surge pricing, but maybe it's dynamic pricing based on market conditions, ideally based on some controls in place. So we're going to see nuances there based on market conditions, environment, based on maybe the mood, based on what's hot, based on competitive pressures, based on what's in inventory, what's in excess, and use that to drive the discounting that we see in the retail sector.
The next opportunity that you talked about in your paper, Akshay, is cloud-based gaming, video, and hosted services.
Many times we go to a retail shop and we have to wait in line, or we have to wait to get access to the salesperson to give us advice. And there's a lot of sitting around, whether it's at a car dealership, whether it's at a hotel, you know, when you're standing in line. And there's a lot of opportunities to upsell with electronic kiosks that are smart, with games, maybe upselling with video ads. Maybe there's other nuances here. These are newer opportunities. Standing in line at a restaurant where you're waiting for your table, there could be a lot of upselling opportunities there as well. So we're starting to see kiosks like the Ziosk in the case of Chili's that have embedded video games at the tabletops while you wait for your order to arrive. And we're going to see other upselling of other functions beyond just the order management in the menu.
The next one is new monetization models, advertising, in-media placement, social, et cetera, et cetera.
So we're starting to see your context is valuable. Your location, your mood, your Facebook check-in, what you've stated before, a Yelp review, what you do in social sites. There's a lot of analytics right there that can be leveraged, and they could lead to better ad placement, better targeted coupons or targeted monetization models. These could be newer ways of sharing. You know, an influencer maybe gets a pat on the back or an extra coupon for influencing a certain fashion trend. I was at a blockchain event yesterday at the IT Expo, and a executive at Mavatar was presenting a blockchain-based approach with tokens to give people who are influencers of a new emerging fashion. So it's, you know, the model is one thing, having a model be on stage. Of course, they're paid for, but maybe it's not the model. Maybe it's a key influencer in the shopping mall that is finding a new trend. The big kid on campus, who's the popular kid, wears a certain leather jacket, and now everyone wants to wear that leather jacket. Well, we've all been there and seen that. These are influencers, and maybe they should get paid or given a token of appreciation over time as well.
Great. The next one is point of sale and IoT connectivity and security services.
I actually had the privilege of advising a few firms in this space, in the electronic kiosk space with point of sale functionality and PCI compliance, secure, encrypted credit card transactions is a must. We've seen the Target hack where credit cards were exposed. This is a true vulnerability that has to be addressed. I know, Leonard, we've done a few talks on cybersecurity. It's not if you're being hacked, it's when, or when are you going to find out? Because the vulnerabilities are multifold in any organization, whether it be rogue employees, whether it be people impersonating, whether people having phishing attacks of the IT administrators. There's always going to be some vulnerability, whether it be the Meltdown vulnerability, the Spectre vulnerability, that's a botnet that's introduced into the retailer or restaurant. These are happening all the time, and a new holistic way of analyzing the vulnerabilities as needed. We've seen companies do holistic data mining of all the log files, all the transactions, who's logging in from what device, from what IP address, from what location, and blocking things if they look like an anomaly. And we're going to need more and more of this type of behavioral analytics applied to cybersecurity.
Speaking of Meltdown and Spectre, you mentioned IoT, you mentioned security here. I'm actually quite surprised at the deafening silence around that threat. This is an opportunity, especially for those managed security services, to add some value here.
And I think the silence is not because they don't know. I think they know, and they're just saying, we don't know how to solve it. But I think there are ways. Holistic behavioral analytics is one way. This is also opportunity for the mobile operator to step up. I'm sure you've gotten calls from your credit card vendors telling you, oh, did you just make this transaction in China, or did you make this transaction overseas? And many times I was overseas, so it was okay. But sometimes I wasn't overseas. Well, guess what? The mobile operator knows where I am because they can single strength triangulate with their triangulation methods, figure out my location on my smartphone. They know from GPS. They know where I am. They know where I'm calling from. Maybe that's another vehicle, is the mobile operator shares my location with my permission to my credit card vendors as well. And then they could holistically determine things. This is where the point of sale and IoT sensors can also play a role as well.
And the last one here is encryption and key management.
We're starting to see everything being encrypted. We're seeing smart cards on credit cards. I mentioned the soft SIM or the eSIM concept, and now that's got to be applied to IoT devices as well. Because more and more of these devices need to be encrypted. They need to be managed. They need to be made secure. You know, this could be a possible application of the blockchain technology, which is a distributed ledger that is encrypted and has logging of all the transactions, who did what, when, and where over time since the beginning of that blockchain network. And these could be private blockchains. They don't have to be public, or they could be hybrid blockchains with a policy or a smart contract that defines who can see what with what digital keys. And so this could be one vehicle for maybe the supply chain at a retailer or at a restaurant as well.
And the last opportunity that you talk about is MCORD. Maybe you can explain to us what MCORD is and why you think this is so important.
I'm sure we've all driven by the central office buildings of a lot of the carriers, the old Bell South buildings or the 9X or Bell Atlantic or Pac Bell buildings over the years, where these were basically the buildings on downtown Main Street of pretty much every town, every area code, if you will, typically had a small building with a central office that housed a telephone switch. Well, now we know voice can be virtualized in the cloud. We're doing it right now over this webinar. We've probably made calls over Skype, or we've made calls over other voice over IP platforms where it's cloud-based. It doesn't need to have a local telephone switch that we're talking through. And so given that, well, these buildings are still owned by the operator, and there's an opportunity where these can be now converted into nano data centers that are telco-managed mobile edge computing data centers for applications that require local presence, local compute, low latency, high bandwidth, where multi-tenancy and network slicing on demand can be the new value-added features that a mobile operator can provide. Perhaps this is for local video, AR, VR. Maybe it's a basis for 4.5G as we migrate to 5G with software-defined everything, software-defined data center, software-defined storage, software-defined compute, software-defined networking, and software-defined radio. And so we're going to see newer applications that where latency matters. So tromboning to the Amazon cloud and back might take 10 milliseconds or 50 milliseconds. Well, that might be too late for a mission critical application like connected car. Maybe, you know, a robot that's moving and delivering your food, 100 milliseconds may be too late. So we're going to see newer applications like that. Security as a service. We talked about blockchain with targeted ad insertion in real time on your dashboards while you're driving through the drive-thru. These might be newer applications that come out.
Thanks for that overview. It's really interesting. I think a lot for retailers as well as carriers to think about as far as the opportunities in the future of retail. Let's talk about the implications of all of this that we've discussed for business leaders. So let's start with implication number one, which is security and privacy risk and obligations will increase.
We talked about the target hack of the credit cards. And so security and privacy have to be maintained. They have to be made secure. They have to have opt-in from the user. But once it's provided, that contextual information is a goldmine. It just has to be encrypted, encrypted, encrypted. So everything has to be with digital keys and made sure that everything is held in a highly secure way.
Right. And I think the key here is that as you start to get into the context-driven retail that are emerging, you really need to think very seriously about privacy and very seriously about security as well, like you said, right? It is a progression. Online was one thing, but when we get to augmented retail and retail 2.0 or 3.0, 4.0, this becomes even more critical for a retailer, especially.
As we become multimodal with seamless roaming or seamless omni-channel marketing, so we may start our interaction over the phone to an auto attendant. We then drive to the venue and interact with the kiosk. Hopefully, we don't have to start from the beginning. Hopefully, it recognizes with facial recognition or other ways to identify you, says, hey, Leonard, would you like to carry on where you left off with your order? And you just carry it on seamlessly. And then you get to the table and the tabletop kiosk kicks in. It knows it's you and just continues with the discussion. Eventually, it can be omnichannel, it can be seamless, and it can be secure as your context is shared across devices.
Right. But it sounds very convenient, but it's also scary at the same time as you lay out some of those scenarios. And I think those are the things that retailers need to balance as they're designing these augmented reality experiences for their customers.
Prone to hacking.
Right. And the next implication is design experiences based on context and interaction use cases. So when you look at a lot of the retail talk around mapping the customer journey, all these things we're familiar with in terms of methodologies and techniques for customer experience design, now you need to start to build in context. And we mentioned earlier that designing these augmented reality experiences takes a holistic lens. And we don't mean simply getting a bunch of space or digital designers together with technical folks who know the infrastructure and infrastructure related technology. It takes someone who actually knows everything, which is challenging, but that's literally the kind of capability that you need to bring to the table, I think, to design these experiences effectively. Otherwise, what you do is you completely overshoot or you miss out on some opportunities as you start to move into augmented reality.
And this is augmented
retail.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, newer agile DevOps, prototyping, creating proof of concept trials, storyboarding, you know, how the user would interact and creating that holistic view of things and then architecting using agile development and prototyping it and then actually doing a live trial with live customers and learning from that.
It's sort of what Amazon's probably doing with Amazon Go, right?
Exactly.
Okay, number three is vendor CIOs and CTOs should partner with mobile operators.
I've had the privilege of visiting AT&T's Foundry, which is their, you could say, their prototyping and R&D center that's all over the U.S. and in Israel, where they basically bring in vendors and they'll say, let's kick the tires. Let's look at that new Starbucks coffee espresso maker that's IoT enabled that can be purchased from a smartphone as you come to the Starbucks and the machine automatically starts brewing. And so we're going to see more and more of these type of next gen ideas, but prototyped in a lab environment. And a lot of the carriers like Verizon, AT&T, and others have these R&D centers to kick the tires with.
So number four is mobile carriers should expand partnerships to AR, VR vendors.
We already heard about 5G being talked about, especially with the Olympics in South Korea, NTT Docomo trials of 5G for the Tokyo Olympics in 2020 is around the corner. And we're going to also see trials here in the U.S. with Verizon and AT&T, as well as others, with 5G. Well, one of the killer apps will be augmented reality and virtual reality with newer headsets, newer devices coming out. And this is where the mobile carrier can play a significant role.
Okay, great. And the last one is retail 2.0 strategy based on emerging tech and infrastructure. Your retail 2.0 strategy really needs to take that holistic approach that we were talking about before, even in the technology realm.
Exactly. So the silos of the past have to be broken down. Just having a voice IVR auto attendant and a call center app and have that not be part of your omni-channel marketing with a chat bot on your website or on your mobile app is siloed thinking. Even security has to be holistic, as we talked about. Even the point of sale system can't be just a siloed point of sale. It has to be holistic with mobile pay and other payment mechanisms. Your marketing and monetization and the way you pay the ad vendors beyond just the Googles of the world or the print media of the world, looking out of the box for newer ways to monetize and share the revenue. New partnerships with supply chain and the technology underneath, whether it's blockchain or whether it's SAP or other vendors out there, that has to be made holistic as well. So we're going to see newer technologies, and the mobile operator can play a role. Maybe it's LTE as a backup for connectivity of your point of sale systems. Maybe it's Wi-Fi enabled devices. Maybe it's newer technologies supporting beacons and IoT sensors. And so we're going to see more and more of these technologies come to not only the retailer, the hospitality venue, as well as the restaurants of the world as well.
We're going to move on now to a very short Q&A because we're pretty much out of time. First question here is for Akshay. How do AI chatbot factor into your vision of digital retail?
We've all had chatting sessions with our mobile operator. I'm sure we've had it with our electronic stores as well. And in many cases, you know, you think you're talking to a live person. In many cases, it's actually an AI engine that can answer a lot of the frequently asked questions. And more of these chatbots are becoming more intelligent. I just was on a panel at the IT Expo on chatbots with AI just yesterday. And one of the vendors that was chatting with us, ironically, on the panel, has an engine that can talk to IBM Watson, as well as Microsoft, as well as the TensorFlow platform from Google. And we're going to see not one AI engine is good for everything. We're going to see even nuances in who you want to chat with and the type of responses we get. And so this is a whole new world, but I think there's going to be a lot more powerful solutions, powerful recommendations that come out through the chatbots itself.
Great. And then here's one last question that we can entertain. Akshay, you mentioned several opportunities for carriers. What do you think the high value service opportunity is for carriers in supporting retail 2.0?
Sure. I mean, beyond just connectivity, the carrier can truly be a trusted entity where they could even do managed security as a service. They could be part of the equation with mobile bill pay. They could be part of the equation with video surveillance and other IoT type device management and applications that go with it. And so the carriers should literally think outside of the box. In fact, some of them are. You see carriers buying media companies as an example. You're seeing carriers buy data center providers. And now we're going to see more and more of these verticalized solutions as well.
Okay, great. Well, that's all the time we have for Q&A. And thank you to those who asked questions. If you'd like to find out more about the Next Curve points of view on this and other digital topics of the day, go to our website. It's www.next-curve.com, and you'll find research notes and media and replays of this and other webcasts on our site. You can also follow us on Twitter and on YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and friend us on Twitter to get the live feeds and coverage of industry conferences that we attend and special Next Curve events. If you're interested in talking to Next Curve about how we can help you and your organization gain clarity on your retail 2.0 strategy, just give us a call. And we offer a range of advisory services to help your team baseline a clear understanding of the digital topics surrounding retail 2.0, as we've gone over some of those on this session. So things such as blockchain, IoT, artificial intelligence, robotics, we can advise you on your journey to opportunity and value in the future of retail, whether you're a carrier or you're in the retail business or industry yourself. We offer executive workshops and inquiries, which are a great way to get Next Curve involved in your customer, enterprise, and industry retail 2.0 aspirations and initiatives. If you want to get us engaged to advise you on your first step on your retail 2.0 journey, a great way of getting us involved is through our executive workshop program, which focuses on helping you and your organization develop that holistic strategy that we were talking about and a plan to reinvent your retail business. And we can also help vendors and carriers ideate through the possible business opportunities and service concepts that can enable retail 2.0 and create revenue opportunities. I think we've outlined a number of those that could be quite compelling for an operator. So some of the outcomes that we deliver through these workshops is a digital retail technology guidebook, augmented retail experience conceptual design, business model impact assessment. So looking at how augmented retail, or if you're just at the mobile retail phase, how that could impact your business model as it stands today. And that will give you an idea of what are some of those changes that you need to make going forward. Target business model design and a transformation benefit case and high level roadmap for your journey to becoming an augmented retail / retail 2.0 enterprise. If you have any questions, please contact me. My name is Leonard Lee, by email or telephone, for a scoping discussion to figure out how Next Curve can be part of your next step with retail 2.0. I want to just thank everyone for attending. Akshay, any last words for our audience here today?
Thanks for attending and look forward to the future discussions that are upcoming.
Visit us at www.next-curve.com.